All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Pat Williams and calling you from Florida. We have people from all over the United States and Canada on this call. This is my monthly forum, and today I'm happy to be interviewing my friend Gary Fisher, who's with the Center for Credentialing and Education, who houses the board certified coach credential. So we got a lot of interest in this, Gary, this month. Not only did 80 or so people sign up, but there'll be many more who will listen to the recording at their leisure. So happy to have you on the call and kind of give an update on the board certified coach. It's been near and dear to my heart. Let me just say a little history, and then I'm going to have you introduce yourself and your history with CCE. I think back in 2009, 2010, some people came to me from the Center for Credentialing and Education who had known about me for some time and asked what I thought about a new credential being created called the Board Certified Coach. At the time, it was actually just a coaching credential, and we came up with the title of Board Certified Coach, just like you would see in medicine, Board Certified Physician, Board Certified Realtor, you know, whatever it may be for people. And I thought it sounded good, and I'll just tell everybody why. I mean, I've been a founding member of the International Coach Federation. I'm one of the first MCCs back in 1997 or 8. I've been on the board of the International Coach Federation, the regulatory committee, chair of the ethics committee. I support the ICF, and when it was 10 years old, I thought it was time to have a credential that was not part of the membership body. Just my opinion that it would help the profession globally if there were a place where a credential could be validated and verified that was in the business of giving credentials, not in the business of having conferences, not in the business of certifying schools or classes or getting members. And so that being said, it wasn't meant ever to be a competition with the ICF and the credentials they've created, but the board certified coach to me looked to be the best choice for a global recognition across borders and boundaries. And I still maintain that. So Gary Fisher is here today from the Center for Credentialing and Education, which is a sister organization to the National Board of Certified Counselors. That plays into the history a little bit. And Gary, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, how long you've been with CCE and how long you've been working on the BCC, and then we'll just have a little question and answer period here with you and me.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you, Pat. Well, first off, the Center for Credentialing and Education, for those of you that aren't familiar with us, we're headquartered in Greensboro, North Carolina, and as Pat said, we are the largest affiliate of the National Board for Certified Counselors, which some of you may have heard of. And essentially the difference, I guess, between the two organizations is that the National Board for Certified Counselors, as the name sort of implies, is really focused on mental health counseling and counselors. So our affiliate was created back in 1995 to handle everything outside of the counselor realm in terms of credentialing and certification. So we have a whole portfolio of credentials and certifications that we manage, the board certified coach being one of those. Some of you may have heard of the Global Career Development Facilitator, GCDF credential. That's another one that we own that is quite important and quite well recognized in the career counseling arena, particularly in a lot of the schools. And in the case of the state of South Carolina, that's actually been mandated into legislation that if you're going to be a career counselor, you have to have a GCDF. So we have a large number of certifications that we manage. Now, with regards to me, I'm actually a recovering banker. And spent about 30. Yeah, it's kind of like being an alcoholic. You know, you're always one, but you can recover. So banking is kind of similar. But I retired from a bank. Some of you may have heard of it, BB&T, Branch Bank and Trust Company, headquartered in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Retired from them by way of Wachovia, and after almost 36 years in the banking field, and decided I wanted to do something that gave back a little bit more directly to the community. Not that banking doesn't give back, but wanted to do something in a little bit more direct route. So I ended up working for the Center for Credentialing and Education. Started in September of 2013, and the BCC was my very first assignment. So it and I have been working together since I got here. And I now manage the credential management department for our company, which includes some of the other certifications that I mentioned earlier. So that's a little bit of background. Pat, how do you want to handle it from here? Do you want
Let me say one more thing, and then I think I'll just ask you some interview questions. Some people have actually sent in a few questions, and then if we have a non-noisy line, I can have Amy unmute people and they can ask a question, and if it's noisy, they can mute themselves again. So everybody just hang on. We'll get to your questions in just a moment. An interesting piece of history, and Gary, you may know this, but one of the main reasons that the board certified coach came into being because of National Board of Certified Counselors were finding that of their 50,000 or so members, you know, National Registered Counselors, a lot of them were starting to advertise or market that they were doing coaching. And there's an ethical standard in, when I was a psychologist and pretty much the same as a counselor, you can't provide services or treat a certain population without the proper training. And so technically, counselors could not say they were coaches if they hadn't been trained to be a coach or hadn't been validated to know when they're coaching and when they're not. So very smartly, the Center for Credentialing and Education said, well, okay, let's do a study, kind of a job analysis between counselors and coaching. And they did that, and there was a lot of points that were similar. The philosophy of training in a counseling curriculum is pretty similar to what you all are learning in coaching. There, you do have to build rapport. You do have to have confidentiality. You have to be a good listener. There are ethics there. So there's some similarity, like I've written in my books and we use in our training. But there's also a very big distinction in the relationship and the expectations of a coach and a client, the coaching methodology. So it became obvious that a lot of counselors have much of the generic skills that might be necessary and then add a few extras. So if you're a master counselor, if you've got a master's degree in counseling, that's why you only need 30 hours of coaching-specific classes to become a coach, because you've got a lot of the basics that I already mentioned. And then if you have a master's in some other field unrelated to counseling, but still a master's, you only need 60. And if somebody has an otherwise degree, they might need 125 hours of coach-specific training, which ILCT has always offered. So that's the reason that those differentiating, or I guess I could say decisive categories were defined with different requirements. But what I'm happy about is it allows a lot more professionals to become coaches and not have the difficulty of having to have 750 hours of coaching clients in order to be certified. That's one thing I think the ICF did early is they made it very difficult for part-time workers who did other things besides coaching to develop a coaching business of 750 coaching hours before they could become certified. So board certified coach, and Gary will talk about this now, is really a credential for competency. It doesn't say anything about mastery. It's just that you are a competent coach and you have been assessed by your training by an affidavit from a coach who's heard you, by classes you continue to take to maintain the credential, by ascribing to the ethics of the BCC, et cetera. So let me ask you, Gary, that since the credential was started, I think just now 5 years ago, a lot of people will be coming up for renewing their credential. How many BCCs do we now have, and where are they mostly located? United States, Europe, Canada? What's kind of the breakdown and the trend in that?
Most of our, well, first off, we have about 2,800 BCCs in the have the U.S. credential. Now that meaning meets the U.S. requirements because we do offer it in other parts of the world. And those individuals live in approximately 22 different countries, with the bulk of them being in the U.S. We also have a BCC that is specific to Taiwan and one for the Republic of China and Chinese Democratic Republic, rather. And we've got about another 800 or so there, and with a growing presence, again, around the U.S. credential in India.
Wow.
So
well,
it's
I know
essentially
coaching,
a worldwide credential.
Yeah, that's great. I know that coaching has really boomed in India. There's a lot of Indian coaches in an ICF chapter and things, so that's great. How does one, and this is some of the questions people send in, people that have a BCC are now getting a newsletter, if I'm not mistaken, or at least they're having access to the Center for Credentialing Education updates, which is on all the credentials, not just the BCC.
Right, we have a quarterly newsletter.
Okay. So the renewals for some of the people on this call or many of our ILCT students will be coming up. We'll go over again what the requirements are for that, and how does one maintain their credential?
Well, currently we require, and for those of you that are certified, you will probably recall having gotten an email from us a while back that explained some of the changes we were making to continuing education. Specifically, we dropped the requirement for a five-year certification period from 100 hours of continuing education down to 70. And we tinkered a little bit with the requirement for ethics as well. So that was the big change that has recently occurred. So in terms of recertifying, what people will need to do, and anybody who is certified and is coming up for recertification here, so coming up towards the end of their five-year certification period, y'all will get a notice in the mail, regular mail service, about 6 weeks in advance of when your credential would expire. And basically what you will need to do is sign off on that form because you're reattesting to the Code of Ethics and that you adhere by the BCC Code of Ethics, that you do keep up your continuing education. And it's the regular $40 a year annual maintenance fee would apply at that time. Now, there is going to be a group that is randomly selected for what we call an audit, and that's just kind of to make sure everybody's playing the game fairly. We will audit a certain number of people for whether or not they actually did their continuing education. And so for the folks that are selected for audit, you will need to send in copies of your certificates of completion, your documentation basically for your continuing education. But and also, if you were to actually let your certification expire, then you'd be automatically subject to audit if you wanted to go ahead and reinstate it. But other than that, the real difference will be having to reattest to the Code of Ethics, and then you'll be recertified for a new five-year period and receive a new certificate from us with the new expiration date on it. So that's pretty much the process.
Great, great. So there are some specific questions that a few people sent in, and let me see if you have not answered these. So The number of hours required to keep the BCC, you said 70 every five mm-hmm. years, right? You have to have 70 hours of continuing education credits. Where can people find those hours? I mean, part of this, I know my Institute for Life Coach Training that I'm the founder of does have our classes, most of which count toward the BCC. But how else can people get the additional hours to maintain the credential?
Well, one place that they can go, and this is certainly not the only place by any stretch, but a good place to start for anyone who really wants to get a flavor for what's available from a continuing education perspective would be to go to the CCE website. And the web address for that is www.cce-global.org. And when you go into the BCC section of the site, we have under the CE Opportunities section, we have a growing list of continuing education opportunities that are listed there. Many of these are actually offered by BCCs themselves for the benefit of their fellow BCCs. And we don't endorse any of these directly, but we do basic investigation to make sure that they are relevant sources for coaching education. We still encourage folks to make sure before they enroll in something that it's going to meet their continuing education requirements. So would strongly encourage folks, again, on our website to take a look at the guidelines for continuing education. There's even a downloadable PDF document in there on the approved methods of getting continuing education as well as the requirements themselves. So you can download those and have them handy on your computer or print off a copy if you want. And so that would be the best place to start,
yeah.
Really, would just be look at the listings on our site. Now, beyond our website, and I'll use ICF because they're a really good example, I get a lot of questions from folks about, I went to an ICF conference, or I'm interested in a conference being offered by ICF. Will you guys take that for continuing education? If it falls into one or more of the BCC competency areas and meets the other requirements for continuing education, we will absolutely take it. We are not... we're not, I guess you'd say, provincial from the standpoint of it came from another coaching organization, so we're not going to recognize it. It's our belief that there are a lot of fine coaching organizations, ICF, ACA, there's a number of them that are out there that
right.
Are fine organizations, and if they offer continuing education, as long as it, again, falls into one of our competency areas and meets the other requirements, we're perfectly good with folks taking that for continuing education for the BCC.
Good. So if somebody wants to pre-verify that, I mean, instead of waiting 5 years and say, I've got these hours, can they say, here's some hours I compiled at a conference. Is there somebody at your organization that they can write and find out if those are okay or not, or do they just have to wait till their renewal is up?
Well, there's two things you can do. First off, again, I would definitely look at the guidelines on the site because that's exactly what we're going to use when we take a look at something that somebody has sent to us to take a look at because we get a lot of that. So that'd
mm-hmm.
be step number one, is just for yourself. Go on, and before you even sign up for a course, it would be a good idea to look at that and see, yeah, it does actually fall into these competency areas here, and it's an approved method, and I know I can get, you know, up to X number of hours through this kind of approach. So everything is good to go. So if you still got a question after going through all that, then please do contact us, and I'll be the person more than likely making the call on that or advising the person on what I can see.
Mm-hmm.
appears to be the case. We do have one other person here on staff that, if I'm not available, can also help. His name is Isaac Bullen. But normally it will be me. And just keep in mind that sometimes it's a little tough for me to tell just by, you know, the documentation that might be on somebody's website or something like that. So a lot of times I'm going to, you know, I will give you my best estimate, and I'll frame it
right
that way, that as far as I can tell, based on the information you've sent me, and I know that sounds like an attorney talking, but it does or does not appear to be continuing education. One place, just maybe a word of advice for folks, one place where it can be kind of a gray area and you need to be a little bit careful is there are a lot of things out there that when you really cut them down to their bare essence, they're really more of a self-improvement, self-help kind of offer. Keep in mind it has to have a coaching angle to it someplace to count as coaching education. So there are a lot of fine self-improvement courses out there. And from just a self-development perspective, we think they're great for people to take. Unfortunately, they're just not going to count for BCC continuing education.
Good. Okay. So the bottom line, everybody who's on this call and those may listen to this recording in the future, is the website at Center for Credentialing and Education now for the Board Certified Coach is fabulous. They've really updated the information and the way to navigate it. So go there first and, you know, keep it simple. So if you've taken training that if you're keeping an ICF credential, then pretty much most of that is probably going to fit. Just make sure it fits into the categories required for the BCC. If you're maintaining only the BCC and you're not a member of the ICF or don't care to have that credential, or you don't yet qualify, perhaps, a board-certified coach is very significant for your professional identity. And if you know you have a five-year plan to get 70 hours, just, keep an eye out. The ILCT has courses, any of our advanced courses, I should say most of our advanced courses would count toward the BCC renewal. There's other opportunities may come up with your local coaching group. Sometimes you can take online classes and you get a certificate for that if it's an ICF approved or somebody else similar might do it. I think that it's basically your responsibility to get the documentation and make the case. The easier you document what it is you took, what was the content, number of hours, et cetera, it's going to be hard to not say yes if you've documented that well. All right, so there's another question here from somebody. I think this is pretty easily answered. There's a woman on the call who's sending a question saying she's a pastor with an earned Doctor of Ministry degree. Considering the BCC credential, does her degree qualify her for this track?
Absolutely would be the answer there.
Yes.
There are about seven different ways that you can apply to become a board certified coach, and one of those options is to have a doctoral degree in a social or a behavioral science, and certainly that kind of degree would fall into that category, and in this particular instance, that would require 30 hours of approved coach training.
Good. Great. So there's good news for that person. Dana writes in, Dana, if you're an ILCT student, I can answer this for you. You say you're very interested in this topic and would love to learn next steps to become a BCC. I'm also curious if there are different learning formats for this class. So at the Institute for Life Coach Training, right on the homepage, there's a link. If you want to become a BCC, click here. You can go over what's required depending upon your previous degree or training. And as far as different formats, yeah, I mean, there's live training. There's our telephonic classes. I don't think, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, but are there ways people can listen to audios or watch videos and get credit in some way?
Yes, maybe there are. There are a number of training programs out there that offer a combination of either live in person, live distance, or recorded, or any combination of those as part of their program. There are even a few that are completely either on CDs or DVDs. So there's a number of formats in a number of the different training organizations. So I would say that there's generally something out there for just about everybody, either on an asynchronous basis where you kind of study at your own pace, or as part of a live webinar, or even just a live in-face formatted. So it's really just kind of up to what works for the individual, what's convenient for them, the way they like to learn.
Okay. And does CCE still have a listing of, I won't say recommended organizations, but organizations who do offer such trainings?
Yes, we have. We do approve training providers. We don't accredit them, but we do approve them.
Right.
And they are absolutely, every single one of them that is approved is on our website. And one thing I would, for any of y'all that are not BCCs and are looking at, you know, whether it's ILCT or, you know, any of the options that are out there, one thing just as a caution to keep in mind, everybody on our site is an approved training provider, but a lot of providers train for organizations that, you know, other coaching organizations, such as ICF as an example. So they may, if you go on their website, you may see a course out there, but make sure that it is the one that's approved for the BCC. So bottom line, approved provider, but also make sure you're signing up for an approved course. We've had a few folks, and it's a terrible thing. They have signed up with somebody who's an approved provider, but unfortunately they took a course that was not approved for the BCC, and that's an important thing, because that's exactly why the courses were created and approved by CCE, is because they're designed specifically to get folks ready to sit for the board certified coach exam. So that's the reason we don't accept other courses, because they're just not tailored to that need.
Right. But again, a lot of this can be found at the CCE website. Questions, if you're a student at ILCT, usually Ellen or myself or someone can answer some of those questions. I always try to make myself available if people have them. There's a couple more questions, and then I'm going to open it up to people who are on the line. So get ready if you have a live question you want to ask in a moment. Linda writes, what can I do to prepare for the BCC exam?
There's a couple of things. The first thing, and we have now started sending this to everybody as they are approved to sit for the exam, but if you didn't get this from us, please contact us and we'll be happy to send it to you. But there is, and you can even see it on our website, as well as we can also send you a PDF version of it, but there is an approved, or I should say a recommended reading list. It's got a lot of references to good articles and books that, in the case of the articles, there are links to those articles because they can all be found online. And reviewing those is a good way to get ready for the BCC exam and kind of round out your knowledge of coaching. And we have recently developed, and it's a very short, it's only about 10 questions, but we do have a one-pager that we can send you that's kind of, I guess, a mini-practice exam, if you want to call it that. But it will give you, it gives you some good information about the exam, gives you 10 of the questions, not exactly ones that will be on the exam, but questions like that, so that you start getting a flavor for what the questions are going to be like. So those are the two things that we offer in preparation for the BCC.
And again, if you're an ILCT student, I think you'll find posting a question on our Facebook page or homepage of ILCT, you can get other people who can help you and make sure you're ready. But if you've taken our classes and done well, you know you shouldn't have any problems. We know that. We want you to be a competent coach. So, Amy, let's open the lines and see if anybody in the moment here has any questions for Gary and I. All right, so we're unmuted now. If anybody's been waiting with bated breath to ask a question, now's your opportunity.
Hello, Diane here from Chicagoland, if I may.
Yes, you may.
Oh, okay, thank you. You know, I have my cycle is not over until the end of this year, but I'm looking at, the form for reinstatement. It's all very well constructed, so concise and so coherent. And I would just like to state to anyone new in this experience, you know, I have over 100 hours. The course selection of the approved courses and the like that earns credit are so relevant to my niche and so useful that I just kept going. And these are not one bit intimidating. I mean, I just drank them up. And I want to just maybe coach around any apprehension or, oh, my goodness, what am I signing up for? They're wonderful. So I have to give that shout out. And I did have a question, even though I'll be doing this next year. There is an option here for volunteering for three areas here, marketing efforts, exam development, and standards development. May I ask what would be involved in just this general endeavor?
Sure. Those are committees that we pull together from time to time. For example, and Pat actually has had some involvement with one of these, but we have committees around these three areas that will meet from time to time to either in the case of like the examination, we will work very hard to keep the exam relevant and up to date with where the coaching industry is at. Many of you who are BCCs on the call probably participated in the job analysis survey, that big, long, massive survey sent about a year ago. As big as that thing was and what a bear that was to complete, the information that you gave us as a result was absolutely invaluable. Mm-hmm. And so just kudos and thanks to everybody who participated in that, because the way we'll use that information, and that really, because y'all are the practitioners out there, and so that's your voice into the coaching community and telling us this is what the state of coaching is all about right now. And we'll take that information to use to ultimately refine the board certified coach examination, so that when your future colleagues sit for the exam, they will be taking an exam that really reflects what's going on in the industry. So that's just one example. Marketing, we haven't done a whole lot in that particular area with regards to using input from BCCs, but we do have some things kind of on the drawing board. So we included their information both on the recert application as well as on the original application. Mm-hmm. Folks will see it also on there too, and it's just a way for us to get a handle on who's out there in our BCC community that might be interested in helping us out when the opportunity arises. So it's just kind of a great way to hold up your hand and say, yeah, hey, I'm interested in helping out over here.
Yeah, very great. Good. Thanks for explaining that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Somebody else with a question for Gary or I?
Yes. Hi, this is Donna Journey from Annapolis, Maryland.
Yes, Donna, go ahead.
I have two questions, actually. I came about 10 minutes late to the call, so maybe you already answered this. How many ethics CEUs are required to renew out of the 70?
Okay, I will actually pull that up just so that I don't. We actually upped it from 3 hours to four. So out of the 70 hours, and it counts, of course, towards the total of 70, you need to earn four of those in the area of ethics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the second question is, this past summer I received it was a 3.5-day training with Brené Brown on her Daring Way curriculum, and she has a clinical track and a coaching track, and her CEUs were ICF approved. So I know you have your own criteria, but would you say there's a pretty good chance that those hours would count?
If they have a coaching track and it was ICF approved, with the exception of anything that was around how to run the business of coaching,
it would
almost undoubtedly fit into one of our competency areas and thus make it eligible for CE.
Okay. And do you require the hard copies of the CEUs? I mean, or the paper copy that we have?
Only if you're selected for audit, and that's a really good question, that because a lot of folks get a little bit confused on this. The only time we actually require people to give us the documentation of their CE, I mean, of course you should be keeping track of it yourselves and documenting it, but the only time we actually ask for it is for the group that is subject to audit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only time we will actually need to get that information from you.
Okay.
So when they submit it, do they submit copies or just a listing?
Right now, and preview of coming attractions for everybody, we are actually working mightily on getting a new credential management system and database installed we hope to have that done either this year or early in 2017, but that will allow folks to do things like, you know, upload copies of things to us. Scan it in or email it to us and pay your bill online and do a lot of the things that folks have been telling us they really would like to do. Well, it's coming is my basic message.
Great.
It'll make life easier for you, for us, and for everybody. But for right now, unfortunately, we would have to actually get the copies on paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you could scan them, you know, individually and email them to us. We could do that too.
Yeah. Great. Very accommodating. And if any of you ever had the chance to see the headquarters in Greensboro, which I've been to on multiple occasions, this is no small organization, and there's a lot going on in many buildings. So,
yeah, we would love to have folks come by and visit us. That would be terrific.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. I do have a question from somebody else that sent one in that I'll post, and we'll see if anybody else has a live question. But Georgine, who I think might have been the one who called in from New York, I can't remember.
That was me.
You did. What a memory. I still have a memory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Gary.
yes. So this is Pat. You were a graduate of the Robbins Madonis Institute. And I have to say, good for you, because Cully Madonis is a friend of mine from way back. I took specialized therapy training, strategic family therapy training from her 25 years ago. We continue to stay in contact. I was in contact with she and Tony Robbins when they were creating their institute, and I know I kind of nudged them to get approved by the CCE for their training. So it's a fabulous training. And your
she did a testimonial on my book. She wrote a testimonial on my book, which was very cool.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Very great. So you have taken the core 100 plus 50, which I think, does that mean 150 hours from Robbins
Madonis?
150
hours, yes. I've got the marriage and relationship and the core 100.
Okay, and you want to take the BCC exam. So your question is, can I do that at our school? Here's what you need to find out. What's your degree? What's your background? What do you need to qualify for the BCC? And if you still need more hours, yes, of course you can take them at ILCT or any of the other organizations that the Center for Credentialing and Education has listed as well. So my request to you is to find out, you know, where are you in terms of number of hours needed? Because if you've got 150, you may already have enough.
Well, you see, that my issue was that there was some confusion about not needing a bachelor's degree, which hasn't really been said. And so Now I find out you need a bachelor's degree or higher in order to take that training anyway. I mean, I have a lot of life experience that I could probably but I don't have that degree right now, and that was something that was not really presented.
Yeah, I can have Gary address that a little bit, but I'll tell you why that decision was made. If you think about coaching as an industry, and there was some bad press last week in Colorado about the coaching industry, and somebody's being sued for kind of a scam on getting coaches to submit money to be getting clients. And that happens in every profession. I mean, it happened in psychology. It happens in ministry. It happens in lawyers even. But I would just tell you that the reason that the BCC was requiring at least a bachelor's is because it's a professional credential. Now, I don't mean this to be any kind of a put down or anything, but we wanted a basic college education to differentiate from other organizations who will just take anybody. So I think, Gary, you might address, are there any ways around or any ways to show a, what's the word I'm looking for, in lieu of a degree, or do people, is it pretty much black and white that to get the BCC,
It really is black and white on that one.
Right.
Pat, as you indicated, that was a decision made actually when the BCC was being created. It is mandated by our board of directors.
Right, right.
For all the reasons that you just explained. There isn't really a life experience option that we can rely on. You do have to have a minimum of a bachelor's degree. Now, that can be in any field, but... But it does have to be at least a bachelor's.
Right. What I was saying was some of that, because I've lived all around the world and I've done a lot of things, and so some of that, those credits towards a bachelor's degree could be gotten with life experience, depending on whether you could pass it at the competency. And so going back to school, I mean, I went back to school to do the after a very long time, to do Tony Robbins. And I'm happy to do that. It wasn't really presented that way.
Okay. Well, here's the good news. You certainly have the qualifications to become at least an associate certified coach for the ICF. You also might want to look at universities that are out there, and I'm going to give you one website where I'm the director of the coaching program. It's an online educational university out of Maui. Now, I will tell you, you don't go to Maui. It's just that's where it's housed.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yep.
But it's called IUPS.edu, International University of Professional Studies. And it's non-accredited in the Western collegiate sort of thing, but you do get a legitimate degree. It's just, you know, they're not accredited because they don't want to do it the traditional way of butts and seats, if you know what I mean.
Right, but in other words,
it's one-to-one mentoring, and mostly it's for masters and doctorates, but they do have a way for you to potentially get your bachelor's degree and count a lot of the experience that you can validate.
Is it acceptable to CCE?
Well, we require a bachelor's degree to come from either an accredited university or a university that is recognized by the U.S. Department of Education. And,
okay.
That university, Pat, I'm not familiar with that particular school.
Yeah, may not.
But they might be okay with the Department of Education. I really haven't looked.
Yeah, okay. They may not be, and I'm telling you that because that program was designed for people who wanted to get a master's or a doctorate and weren't planning to be a licensed professional or weren't planning to teach at the college level. But it's validated. I mean, there's a lot of fairly famous people, I can tell you, who got their doctorate at IUPS. So it's not something you mail in your money and you get a certificate next week. You do have to do the program. It's one-on-one mentoring. You have to have a research project for a thesis, et cetera. But there are some like that where you could do online learning and get your bachelor's, you know, if it becomes important to you. in the meantime, if you can get credentialed as a coach and in some other way. Let's talk about that a little bit, Gary, before we end our call today. In your view, and then I can share a little thing too, why is credentialing important?
Well, I think the key thing right now, particularly for coaching, is that coaching is currently not a regulated field. And
right.
So because of that, because there's no license that you have to go out and get to be a coach, the next best thing is the way you can stand out from the rest of the crowd is to have a credential, to have a certification. So that's really the essence of it. And as you were just mentioning a while ago, every once in a while there'll be something in the media about what is portrayed as kind of a fly-by-night operation, and coaching scams, those kinds of things.
Right.
And
right.
This is one of the best ways to establish credibility in your field, because the truth is, any of us could run out today and hang out a shingle and say, I'm a coach.
That's true.
That easy. So how do you fight against that kind of thing? You put the effort into getting the certification so that you can show potential clients and potential employers. I adhere to a specific code of ethics. I've had a certain level of training and education. I have a professional endorsement. I have a certain amount of coaching experience. I am well qualified because I have passed a very rigorous, statistically based and proven exam that was built by coaches for coaches. I have met the requirements to be a board certified coach, and so that gives me credibility in the field of coaching. So that's really what it's all about right now.
Correct.
Yeah, that was very well said. I mean, most people, if you interviewed 20 coaches tomorrow, any of you on this call, and said, has a client ever asked you if you were credentialed, they might say no. Most of them would probably say they've never asked, because by the time they hear about you, they've either met you, heard about you, been referred to you, or looked at your website, which maybe you have more information there. But it helps you stand out from the crowd. It helps you. There's a crowd of coaching. Coaching became popular in the early 90s outside the corporate boardroom. And, it's like, I say this, anybody can also be a consultant. Consultants aren't certified in some rare circumstances. Certain specifics are. But you if you're not a good consultant, you won't get rehired. You won't get referred. If you cheat, lie, or steal, you're not going to get clients. So be ethical, have a credential, put your banner up, raise your flag, put it on your website, put it on your name, put it on your business card. And I think board certified coach sounds pretty damn good. It's what the public would want to see. It doesn't say certified spiritual guru coach, it sounds professional. Now, so does the International Coach Fitter, professional certified coach, et cetera, and even certified life coach from ILCT. At least that shows you finished a curriculum of training. But to become credentialed is a little bit different than having a certificate from a course training. So that's what I would urge everybody to do. And I will just tell you one more update, and Gary, maybe let you have some final words. It's been an honor for me to be actually the first honorary BCC, because I worked with the Center for Credentialing Education to create this thing, and actually got a lot of flack from the ICF at the time, like I was being a traitor or something. But I didn't see this as a choice of doing the BCC or the ICF. People can do both if they want to. You can acquire more than one credential if you want. But Gary and the staff at CCE, Patty Cates, who's vice president, and Sean, lots of people that have worked with me, are very, very, very professional in a lot of the all the credentials they do. There is a group working right now on an upgrade to the five-year-old exam test questions, because CCE is in the business of that as well. They go through a process of finding out what are appropriate questions, what makes a good exam, what are the 100 questions need to be, et cetera. So later this year, there's going to be a change in those that acquire the BCC, and I think it's part of the evolution of the profession. So you can be glad, for those of you that got the BCC, that you're part of a highly recognized credential that's going to grow, and those of you that will be applying can know that you're going to be having an exam process that's relevant and professional, and actually audited by the agency that approves CCE. So that's good to know. Anything you want to say in parting words, Gary?
Well, I guess just to kind of build off of that, Pat, one thing that I think folks might be interested in knowing is that we do really see the growth starting to take off on this credential. I mean, it's only been around really since 2012, and we already are closing in on over 3,000 coaches. And we've kind of gotten to the point, I tell folks around here, we've sort of hit critical mass. And what I mean by that is that when we first started this credential, we had to go out and knock on doors, call people in various training organizations to say, hey, we're starting a credential. We would really like you to be a trainer for us and to have an approved curriculum. We don't have to do that anymore. I've got two sitting here in my office right now that just showed up. We are getting a lot of attention from not only independent coaching schools like, say, an ILCT, for example, but as our a lot of our BCCs, because they do tend to be an educated group, many of them have even branched off and are working in academia now. So we're starting to get colleges and universities that are starting coaching programs coming to us and saying, hey, we would really like to be involved with you folks as a training provider. So we see a lot of signs that we've hit that point where the BCC is kind of becoming self-sustaining, and it's really starting to pick up steam. And so it's an exciting credential. It has a lot of value. As Pat, as you had mentioned towards the beginning of the call, one of the real advantages is that because not everybody is ready yet to be a full-time coach, it's probably a little bit easier to start off with something like the BCC, although we get a lot of folks that say are credentialed through ICF who decide, hey, I want the BCC as well. A lot of BCCs go off and get their ICF credentials. So, and we think that's, you know, that's terrific. We think that's wonderful when people do that. But ours is designed purposely to be a very broadly based credential, but there are within it four optional designations, and I would emphasize the word optional, that folks can get if they so choose to kind of distinguish themselves in a certain area. So the business corporate executive leadership coaching option is one. Life and personal coaching is another, health and wellness, and then the last one is career coaching. So even though we're a broad credential, we do allow folks to earn an optional designation if they choose in one or more of those specialties. So it's a broad credential with kind of substrata underneath it, if that's what is appealing to the person who's going after the BCC. And that can always be added even after you've gotten your BCC. You don't have to do that through the application process. You can come back later even and add a designation.
Yeah, great. And I will just add one piece of emphasis here. Having been one of the founding members of the ICF in 1996, it took 15 years for the ICF to have 10,000 credentialed coaches. Now I think there may be 13 or 14,000. But part of that is because it got overly difficult to document the number of hours to get the certifications. Now, they have changed that. They have actually, they won't say they've reduced their standards, but they've changed the requirements, which I think is a good move. But if it took 15 years to have 10,000 coaches worldwide and the BCC has been around for basically four and has 3,000 plus those in China, which I helped train too in Beijing, this is good. You're part of something that is going to swell, is going to grow. Tell your colleagues to be proud of having the BCC. Be sure to put that on your cards, on your website, in your local talks, et cetera. And I just thank you all for being here. Thank you for those who are listening to the call recorded. And Gary, thank you for your time, for being here to let everybody know the updates and information about the board certified coach.
That was my pleasure.
Okay. Thank you all. We'll hear you next month. Bye, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Pat.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.